Laha Gorangira Namare Bolo Bacha Goranga Laha Gorangira Laha Gorangira Namare Jejana Goranga Bajin Se Hoy Amara Pranare Jejana Goranga Bajin Se Hoy Amara Pranare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vishaiva Padam Bhuja Bhakti Labhya Prema Vidana Parama Pumata Tis my Jagan Mangala Mangalaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Madgavir Api Gopala Sri Kriyat Kripaya Jari Tadaiva Sambhaya Viva Rishi Yustat Priya Janaha Shri Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Sasanatana Rupaka Gopala Rabunathapta Prajabalava Pahima Panchakopaturu Vishcha Kripa Sindhu Vyayivacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So, the great commission from Smita Krishna Maharaj. I see any devotees present here, please bless me. And all the other devotees, please also bless me and forgive me for doing what's called Maryadi Vatikram, for the impertinent offense of speaking in front of a superior like Mother Maya or Smita Krishna Maharaj. Please forgive me. I'm not a teacher, they're the teachers. I'm just a student filming. So, yesterday we did some summary of the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita called Vishad Yoga, or the Yoga of Lamentation. And we describe many things, how we can see in the Gita this kind of existential crisis of identity. Should I exist or should I not exist? It's the most basic existential crisis in the world. Should I exist or should I not exist? And this is what Arjuna is feeling. This is a major subject in the Gita. You could say maybe the main subject in the Gita. And we're not going to elaborate further on this, but we can just point out that Krishna's instructions to Arjuna in the Gita, such as the famous Sarva Dharma Parityagya, is a kind of suicide. He's saying, Arjuna, you should die materially. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, the Vaishnavas die to live, and they live to die. So this existential question of should I exist or not is a very basic, important subject in the Bhagavad Gita. And it's something that all of us went through, a kind of existential crisis, because, as many of us have found out, perhaps all of us, when you join the Hare Krishna movement, it's a kind of suicide. Kind of social suicide. And your friends don't want to talk to you anymore. They can't relate to you. People on the street can't relate to you. Mm-hmm. You're committing a kind of death. Yes. Sannyas is considered to be a kind of suicide. Social suicide, where someone is socially dead. Similarly, for a devotee, for someone who's completely surrendered to Krishna, it's a kind of suicide. So the question of whether I should exist or not, in one sense, it's a very good question if we apply it in spiritual life. when it's misapplied, should I kill myself physically, this body? It's a misapplication of it. But it's a very, very good thing to question. I want to die materially. There's nothing in this world for me. I don't belong here. I'm not happy here. I want something more. This is Vishad Yoga. And as we were mentioning last night, maybe some of you weren't here for that, probably most of you were, but we'll mention something about this again. The word Vishad has many different meanings. It means inertia or tiredness. It means the inability to move. And this is what happens both with mundane lamentation and divine lamentation in two different, very different kinds of ways. As we were reading about Arjuna, he said, I can't fight. I can't do anything. I can't move. So this kind of physical, mental lack of energy is one of the meanings of Vishad. One of the meanings of lamentation. You can't do anything. Another meaning of Vishad is dejection, depression, despondency. Especially as a result of unrequired, not returned love. This is Vishad Yoga. This is the material world. We give our love with hopes, but it's never returned in the way that we expected it. It's never satisfying to us. Because real love should be ahoitiki and apratiyata, nigatma, supersedity. To satisfy the self, to satisfy the Lord, that love has to have no motivation. Ahoitiki priti. And it has to be apratiyata. There's never any question of an end to it. Sometimes I tell a story of a person I know, their father was a general in the army in Egypt, and he came to America to seek his fortune, and he did pretty well. He got a PhD from Harvard, and he got a PhD from Yale universities, both two of the top universities in the world. He became a multimillionaire, and he was very happy one day when his wife became pregnant. He had the hope, my son will be a future president of the United States of America. That was his. So he was a little depressed, a little disappointed when the test came back and they said it's going to be a girl. So then anyway, he thought, anyway, my daughter, she'll be the first woman president of the United States of America. And this very wealthy, influential person, he raised his daughter with so much love. He gave her private schooling and tutors and all the nicest clothes and the best food and diet. And when she got a little older, he bought her a car, and eventually he enrolled her in an expensive university. And everything was going good. He loved his daughter so much. And then one day, his little girl came home, and she said, hey, Dad, I met these really nice people today at the school. And they gave me this book, Bhagavad Gita, as it is. And a few days later, she came back to me. She said, you know, Dad, I'm reading this book. It's a really nice book. And I'd like to become a Hare Krishna devotee. So that very loving father, who gave her everything, he had such a deep expression of love. What was his response? He said, I hate you. You're not my daughter anymore. So it's not love.
No.
It's hoitiki. It has a motivation. I love you as long as you behave X, Y, Z. Underline. And it's patiyata. It has an end to it. That's not real love, and people can't get satisfaction from that. And as we point out sometimes, it's a cute story we told, but sometimes we've seen similar stories a little closer to home. Little three-year-old child's playing cartels. He's an incarnation. He's so happy and excited. Did you see? He's dancing in the cartel. And then he gets about 16 or 17. Maybe a little younger even today. Mom, I don't want to be a Hare Krishna. I want to grow my hair long. I want to smoke pot. I want to have a girlfriend. And then those same parents who had a little incarnation. Sometimes maybe they do. I hate you. You're not my child anymore. But we should learn. That's not love. We may say, I don't agree with you, but I'll always love you. never stop loving you, and there's no condition on my love. That's real love. That's real generosity. So the problem, the blockage for this generosity in our lives is the pious designations. And this was the problem of Arjuna. He had to kill a part of himself. He had to kill a part of his own identity in the form of Grandfather Bhishma, in the form of his teacher, Dronacharya, his friend, Ashwatthama, in the form of his cousin brothers, Duryodhana, and others. And by killing them, he's killing a part of himself. He's losing a part of his identity. And this gives rise to this vishad, this lamentation. It gives rise to this existential dilemma. Who am I? And I don't want to live anymore. If I have to kill this material conception of myself, I don't want to live. And we see this with devotees also. I was a bhakti leader for some years in Los Angeles. And a number of people join, and they're really enthusiastic, and they're real happy. And after a few days or weeks, sometimes you can see on their face, there's some doubts, there's something like that. And as Arjuna said in this first chapter, he said, Krishna, I can't stay here any longer. I see only causes of misfortune. I don't see anything good for myself. Because they're absorbed in these upadis, these designations. It's a difficult thing when you join the Hare Krishna movement. I saw people, I remember one person when he joined, he was like into black magic. He had a magic mirror and all these really weird... He wanted to bring his crossbow and arrow to the Brahmacharya ashram when he moved in. I had to say, He had a blow dart thing, probably put some poison in the darts and whatever. He was a little bit of a strange guy. And when they come, they have that identity. I'm into black magic and Aleister Crowley. I'm into surfing. And we have our identities. But you walk into the bhakta ashram, and the first thing they do is they shave your head. And they take away your Levi's jeans and all these things, and you have an identity crisis. It's worse for the men, I think, than for the women a lot of times in that way. And you see them for a few days walking around. What are they? Who am I? They don't know. Before, I was a cool guy. I had dreadlocks. I had long hair. I had a mustache. I was this. I was that. It was part of my identity. Now, I don't have an identity. Yeah, you can tell me I'm a Hare Krishna, but I don't know any verses like everybody else. I don't even know the prayers in the morning. I can hardly get up in the morning. It's hard to follow the four principles. I can't tie my dhoti right. It's hard to identify with that. So, Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas are very kind. And recognizing the need for upadis. Although we say that sarvupadi vinir muktam tapurat vina nirmam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhaktiruchate, that real bhakti means sarvupadi vinir muktam, freedom from all these designations. At the same time, we need them, especially when we first come. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada gave us a society. And there can be a member. And he first called it the League of Devotees in India. Because Prabhupada had this understanding that, as he told Achyutananda, when they signed the legal documents for ISKCON in 22nd Avenue, it was a very momentous occasion. And everybody was very happy. And after Prabhupada signed the papers, he turned to Achyutananda and he said, actually, we don't need this. He said, for ourselves, we can sit under a tree and chant Hare Krishna. Of course, that's what we did in Tompkins Square Park. We can just sit under a tree and chant. He said, but then no one will come. So we have to have a society for that. Because people need some kind of identity. It helps us. So this first chapter describes Arjuna's existential crisis. How can I kill part of myself? How can I kill my own identity? I'd rather commit suicide. And that's the end of the first chapter. He puts his weapons down. Let them kill me. I can't go on with this. And it sets the stage then for the second chapter. And the first verse of the second chapter is spoken by Sanjaya. And he says that tam tata kripaya vishtam ashupurna kolekshanam vishidanta midam vakyam uvacha madhusudana Visiddhanta Midam Vakyam. Krishna spoke Uvacha Madhusudana when he heard these vakya, these words from Arjuna. And what kind of words were those? Visiddhantam, Vishad, the words of lamentation. Arjuna's expression, his heartfelt crying out to Krishna, which was misplaced, which is mundane. I hate to say that. It's not. Because Krishna is using Arjuna to teach us. Arjuna's not a conditioned soul. We should understand that. But with the philosophy, it's called, I think, Sakya Chandra Nyaya, the logic of the tree and the moon. The mother tells the child, do you see the moon? The child says, no. So the mother says, do you see the tree? Yes, I see the tree. You see the branch? Yes, I see the branch. Well, follow along the branch, and there's the moon at the end. She's pointing out the tree, but her real purpose is to point to the moon. So she's pointing out something to indicate something else. So this is the logic in the Gita. Arjuna's not a conditioned soul. But to teach us, Krishna has arranged that Arjuna has this seeming lamentation. So it's also significant in this first verse, tam tata kripaya avishtam, kripaya avishtam. That Arjuna has become kripaya avishtam. Avishtam means overwhelmed with kripa, with mercy. So, indirectly, this is indicating something else. There's two types of vishad. There's lamentation for myself, and there's lamentation for others. And that lamentation for others can include an expression of my desire to have guru, my expression of my desire to have Krishna. So, kripaya vishtam indicates that actually Arjuna is a high-class person, but he's saying that in a subtle way. Ashru punakalekshanam. Arjuna's crying. It's a very, very intense thing for him. Visiddhantam idam vakyam uvacha madhusudanam. And because of Arjuna's words and Arjuna's mood, then Krishna, he responds with Arjuna. And he becomes very heavy with Arjuna. The first thing he tells him, the next verse, kutashpakashmalam idam. Vishame samapasya. How of these impurities come upon you. Anarya justam asvargyam. These are anarya. They're not meant for high-class people. This is something for a low-class person. And then he does something really, really bad. He says klaibhyam. Prabhupada translates klaibhyam as impotence. But someone who's a klaibhya is a eunuch. And Arjuna previously, he was cursed by Ravasi. You may know that story. That he should become a eunuch. It's about the worst thing you can call a warrior. And so Krishna's telling that to Arjuna. Klaibhyam asmagam aparta. How is this? You're parta, your son of Pritha, such a very high class Kshatriya lady, but you're like a Klaibhya? You're like a eunuch? Chutam hridaya dharbalyam. This very low class weakness of the heart is overcoming. Chakta tishta parantapa. Give this up and you should fight. And then Arjuna, again, he tells Krishna some other arguments. He says, how can I fight with people like Bhishma and Drona? They're my worshipable superiors. You should never disrespect a superior person, even with a verbal, in a verbal way. And he tells him it would be better, I would prefer just to die or beg from other people than to live at the cost of my teachers, these great souls. They're everything for me. So he said, so I don't know what's better, to kill them or to be killed by them. I really don't know. It's a very beautiful existential question. He says then, very famous verse, which the first chapter is leading up to. You know this verse. Karpanyado sopahata svabhavam prichchami tvam dharma samudacheta yashayashanishchitam bruhitam me shishyaste ham sarimantvam prapanam. He says, now I don't know. He says, because of this karpanya dosha, this weakness, this fault of weakness of heart, because of that, prichchami tvam dharma samudacheta, I'm bewildered. I don't know what is dharma. And it's not just what is religion. Dharma also means your occupational activity. It means your intrinsic quality. In other words, he's saying, I don't know who I am. It's a great existential crisis. So, yeshreyasha nishchitam bruhitam me. So, you tell me what is shreya. What is actually something good. Shishyaste aham. Sarimam tvam prapanam. Now I'm your disciple and you should instruct me. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur in his Sarita Varshan commentary has given a very interesting conversation that goes on inside of this verse between Arjuna and Krishna. Krishna replies to Arjuna, Nanu tahi sapapatat kam shastartam tvam eva bruhara chaktriya bhutva bhikshatanam nishchiniso taryalam marutyeti tattaha karpanyeti. He said, Arjuna, you're telling me so much shastra. We were hearing in the last chapter, he was giving so many good arguments, bona fide arguments, based on Smriti Shastra, based on literatures like Manu Sanghita. We can't disrespect senior persons. It's wrong. Shastra says, don't ever do that. Don't disrespect your guru. And if we do that, what will happen to the women? The women will become contaminated. No one will be there to protect them if all the men die. And if the women become polluted, then what's going to happen to society? We'll have Varna Sankara. We'll have unwanted children or little demons like the world today. And then what will happen to the society? These are people who don't act according to these principles. They go to hell. How can you tell me to do this? So, Krishna's speaking back to Arjuna. He says, Arjuna, you've been speaking to me so much shastra to bring your conclusion. He says, although you're a kshatriya, you've decided now to become a beggar. You're a great vidvan, shastra vidvan. You're a great pundit, you know, so much shastra. But what is the value of your shastra? You're a kshatriya and you're going to become a beggar? What kind of understanding of shastra do you have? And he tells him, why should I say anything? You already know everything. You're preaching to me. You're not asking me things, Arjuna. You're coming and you're telling me. You're telling me what is religion. You're telling me what's right and what's wrong. So why should I speak to you? And then Arjuna, he says, no, no, no. My intelligence has become bewildered, trying to understand what is really dharma. He says, after all, dharmasya sukshma gatihi, Mahabharata says, that the path of dharma is very, very subtle. So, Krishna, forgive me. It's not so easy to understand really what's dharma. So therefore, it's better for you to decide, and you tell me. And then Krishna replies, Nanimadvachas tvam pandata mani vena kandayasi chetka tambruyam. He says, but Arjuna, you're so expert in argument. You're defeating me. So why should I say anything to you? You're such a learned person. You're so good at argument. You can defeat me. So why should I say anything? And then Arjuna replies, Tatraha sishisteham asmi natam paramrita kandaya mitti bhavaha. No, no. Now I'm your student. And I'm no longer going to uselessly oppose you. And Krishna then he says, Sakhayam tvam katam upadisamiti chittatraha. How can I teach you if you're my friend? What they say in Russian, we're groups, we're very close friends. How is it possible? And Arjuna says, no, sishyasteham iti, sadi sikshaya. Now I'm your student, I'm your disciple, sishya. You please teach me, sadi. So, this is the result of Vishad Yoga. Vishad, we gave some different meanings for it, and we didn't mention, we stopped at a certain point, I should read a few more. Vishad also means disappointment, despair, it means fear, it means weakness, it means aversion, it means disgust, it means dullness, It means stupidity, insensibility. It means a cause of depression and grief. It means being dejected and downcast. It means looking depressed or sorrowful. So as we mentioned last night, it's a compound word, visha and ada. Visha means poison. Ada means to take or receive. So vishada means I'm taking poison, I'm going to die. When we take poison, we lose everything. And another meaning of it is that I accept this lamentation. I don't try to act like something else. And therefore, because Arjuna has not denied his lamentation, Arjuna has embraced it. He's placed it before Krishna. He said, I can't do this thing. And therefore, he comes to Krishna as Krishna's disciple. Sanatana Goswami was a great scholar and a very highly placed person in the court of Nawabu Singh Shah. But when he came to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what did he say? You can chant Hare Krishna in response. Ke ame kene amar jare tapatrai Ihanahi jane ami ke mone hito hoy bolo Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Kini amai, who am I? Why am I here? This is how we approach Guru and Krishna. To teach us this, Krishna performs Vastrahana Leela. And some people think it's because he's a lusty boy. But those girls were like 5 years old at the time when Krishna stole their clothes. It's not a lusty activity. There's a purport to it. Krishna's teaching us that when we come before Guru and Krishna, we should come naked. Doesn't mean you should take off your clothes. Some of the Krishna might be very angry with me. But it means it means that when we come before Guru and Krishna, we don't come with any pretensions. Pretension means you're pretending. We don't come with any upadis. Now I'm coming as a blank slate. Jesus Christ, he said, you empty your cup and I'll fill you. We have to come as a blank slate. And therefore, Sanatana Goswami is teaching us. Ke ami, I don't know who I am. Not that we come, Maharaj, I wonder if you give me initiation. I just want to let you know, you'll be really lucky if you get me as a disciple. I know 5 verses in the Bhagavad Gita. I haven't missed Mangalartik in 2 weeks. I'm almost an incarnation. I'm also very handsome, intelligent, and very humble. And you'll be lucky. And I'm also very rich. If you accept me, you may do like that, and you may get something. But that's not the way that we come to Guru. We come to Guru. Guru is a manifestation of Krishna. And when we cry, when we perform what my Guru Maharaj used to call Atmakrankana, or the crying of the soul, which is described by Jagadananda Pandit in Prema Vivarta. And how the jiva, Kabu Raja, Kabu Praja, Kabu Vipra Sudra, is going from one birth to another, sometimes as a king, sometimes a citizen, Kabu Vipra, Kabu Sudra, sometimes a Brahman, sometimes a Sudra, Kabu Duki, Kabu Suki, Kabu Chitta, Sudra. Sometimes he's happy, sometimes he's unhappy, sometimes he becomes a worm and stool, and he doesn't know who he is. And he describes it. Eirupi samsara brahmite kona jan sadhu sange nija tattva avagata han bolo Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Eirupi samsara brahmite kona jan. He's on eternal vacation, like something from one of those old science fiction movies. You get the eternal vacation. You think it'll be nice to go for a 2-week vacation, but what if the vacation never ends for all of eternity? This is what the jiva is going through. And he doesn't know who he is. But sadhu sanga nija tattva avagata han. If by some Bhagyavanjeev, by some good fortune, he comes in contact with sadhu, the Nija Tattva Avagatahan, he understands who I am. The sadhu tells him, you're not all these upadis. You're not a beautiful girl, you're not a rich man, you're not a scholar, you're not this thing or that thing, you're a spirit soul. Nija Tattva Jani A Samsarana Chai Kinava Bajinu Maya Kore 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 Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 When the soul understands this tattva, I'm not this body, I'm a soul, then samsara na chai, he doesn't want the material entanglement anymore. And then kinova bhajino maya, kore hoy hoy, he begins to cry. But this is what's indicated also in this first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna is having this existential crisis. And this is really where spiritual life begins. Krishna tells Arjuna in the Adi Purana, Gatvachama manamari rudvanti manisanido teshamaham parikrito nanyakrito janardanaha. He says, Arjuna, it's not so easy to be God. Everybody tries to tell everyone that I belong to them. He says, the Muslims say I belong to them. But I don't belong to the Muslims. I don't belong to the Christians. I don't belong to the Jews. I don't belong to the Hindus. I don't belong to the Hare Krishnas. He said, but I belong to those persons who chant my name and cry for me. And that's the purpose of this movement. Srila Prabhupada sometimes said, we're not coming to give some sectarian thing. Prabhupada wrote a letter to the Governor General of Canada, and he said that our movement is a non-sectarian movement, and amongst them we have members who are Muslims and Christians, Jews, and they can keep their respective religion and still be a member of our movement. Because we're not teaching a religion. You can keep your religion, it's okay. We'll be going to Uzbekistan in another month or so. And it's a very heavy place. There's a lot of people that are born in Muslim families. And if you change your religion, the penalty is death. They'll kill you for that. But we have Muslims coming to the Hare Krishna temple. But they wear their Muslim garments, and they still do their namaj. Three times a day, they're doing their respects to Mecca, and that. And we never ever discourage them from that. Be a Muslim. But if you can add this, and it helps you something, very good. We're not trying to give someone a new religion. We're trying to teach people how to cry for Krishna, how to cry for God. And this is the meaning of the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Kende bole ohe Krishna, ami tava das, tumara charana chari hoila sarvanas. Hey, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare. At that time, the jiva begins this atmakrandana, this vishad yoga of crying from the heart, from the soul. And this is a real beginning of spiritual life. Not what they may tell you in the Christian church or the Islamic temple or whatever, or even in the Hare Krishna movement that it begins and you become a life member. You get some sukriti at that point. It's a big subject matter. But bhakti doesn't begin until we take shelter of guru. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Bindu, he describes it as indriya vyapara. Your activities, your devotional activities, gulp, before we come to guru. He says it's indriya, just the senses engaged with the sense objects, atashri Krishna, namadi, nabhavid grime indriya. You can't perceive it. But when you take shelter of Krishna's representative, when we cry out to Krishna, then Krishna reciprocates. How does he reciprocate? Krishna creates a miracle. A miracle that we can all see, and not a miracle like we spoke about yesterday at Catherine Kuhlman's church with all the cripples and whatever like that. A practical, real miracle. Krishna appears before me as Guru. And I know in my heart, Krishna came in this form. And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, at that point, your bhakti really begins. Because ye me bhakti janam partha na me bhakti tasayi janam, mad bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas te me bhakti tamo mataha. Krishna says, those people say they're my devotee, they're not my devotee. Those people say they're chanting my names, they're not chanting my names. But that person who's worshipping my devotee, he's really worshipping me. And therefore Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Tate Krishna Bhaji Kori Guru Sevan. Worship Krishna and serve Guru. How do we serve Guru? By worshipping Krishna. And my worship of Krishna is my service to Gurudev. Not that I chant Jai Gurudev, Jai Gurudev, Jai Gurudev on my beads and just keep a 9-foot-high picture of my Gurudev in my house. But I serve and please my Gurudev by remembering and serving Krishna. So Kendi Boli, oh hey Krishna, Amitabha Das. When the living entity comes to this point, he comes in contact with the sadhu, then he begins to understand who I am. And he begins this Atmakrandana. This is also Vishad, but it's a different kind of Vishad that we're hearing about before with Arjuna's existential crisis, where he wanted to commit suicide, where he couldn't function. Now it's become something positive because he pointed it in the direction of Krishna. Amitabha Das, I'm your servant. Tomara Chaganachari, Hoyla Sarvanas. I gave up the shelter of your lotus feet and now I've lost everything. So, this is the teaching of Bhagavad Gita. We should learn the yoga of lamentation. Yoga means to connect with, to unite with. And this kind of yoga is a yoga of lamentation. We unite with the Lord by our lamentation, by our crying out from the heart, by being honest. You can criticize Arjuna if you like. Guy's really in the bodily concept of life. He should go to the Bhakti program then, or do something. Maybe he should get a Bhakti Shastri degree or something. I don't know. You can criticize him. But Arjuna's being honest. And therefore this honesty is glorified throughout Vedic literature. We were mentioning in the first day, Jiva Goswami and Bhakti Sandarbha speaks about two types of bhajan. Sakaitava and Nishkaitava. Or cheating bhajan and honest bhajan. It's not bad to be fallen. Very good to be fallen. But it's very bad to pretend. If someone is pretending that they're asleep, Prabhupada used to say you can't wake them up. What's the value of trying to wake them up? If someone thinks they know everything, what's the point in teaching them anything? So we have to begin our spiritual life with deep, deep honesty and crying out from our heart. And what happens at that time? There's a beautiful lecture from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. I'll read this and then I'll translate the English into English. This is something he wrote in 1929. He says, at the dawn of our spiritual life, we sincerely and with complete submission and self-surrender pray to God for receiving the protection of Sadguru. This is when the dawn begins. When the day begins, our spiritual life begins. We sincerely and with complete submission, these two qualities, sincerity and complete submission, through self-surrender, we pray to God to get the protection of Sadguru. The Supreme Lord, perceiving our earnestness and devotion, he has an x-ray machine. He can look at everyone's heart. Huh? Oh, it's just from the lips. Okay, we'll give him a shiny red bicycle. Next. Oh, he wants a girlfriend. Okay, we'll give him that. Oh, this one's very genuine. We can't cheat. It's not just an ecclesiastical religious formality that I take initiation, I have a priest, and I'm part of the movement. For some people it may be like that. And that's okay. That's also all right. They're still caught up with their upadis, and they're not really beginning in a deep way their spiritual life. But Vishwanath says that, just as Indriya Vyapara, that it's the senses engaged in the sense objects. It's not really bhakti. He says, but it is bhakti also. He gives us some hope. And he gives an example of a fire yajna. What is a fire yajna? Fire yajna means you have a fire and you pour ghee in it, and you chant Swaha, the name of Agni's wife. That's a fire yajna. But there's other activities which lead up to it, which are not a fire yajna. You sweep the area, you collect firewood, you collect ghee and the different articles. That's not the fire yajna. Fire yajna is when you pour the ghee and chant the mantras. But because it leads to the fire yajna, it's also the fire yajna. So, for someone who may want something, they may need some upadis, they may be very, very attached to having some social upadis, that's okay. Very good. We also have social upadis here for you. And you don't have to cry for anything more. Just chant Hare Krishna, everything will be fine. And we don't tell them that probably everything won't be fine. If you're really lucky, everything's going to become destroyed in your life. If you really give mercy. We don't tell them that when we first walk into the temple. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, the Supreme Lord, perceiving our earnestness and devotion, with a view to guide us on the true path, will send a real guru to us. Otherwise, it's impossible for us to find Sadguru by our own fallible energy. He says in another article, he calls philanthropism, another big subject, that we're trying to understand spirit with the same senses that bind us to this material world. That our eyes, our ears, and nose, different senses, these senses which are binding me to this material world, I'm trying to use those same senses to understand something spiritual. Atashri Krishna Namadi Navavid Grahamindra. It's impossible. You can't do it. So by our own fallible energy. He says, if we guide ourselves by our own energy, what will we get? We shall come across the pseudo-gurus. And being caught hold of them by their temporary pleasing manners, will run down to hell. And there's so many persons like that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it's Putana, or the false guru, the first obstacle in our spiritual life. But really, there's no such thing as a false guru. There's only false disciples. Because if we're sincere, we have complete submission and self-surrender, Krishna will send us a bona fide guru. But if we're bogus, if we have some other kind of motivation, subtle or gross, then Krishna may cheat us. Of course, someone may be sincere, and they may get something which is not first class. But that may be Krishna's way to make them cry more, or Krishna's way to glorify them later on. But in any case, on this path, there's no question of anyone being able to cheat me. I can only cheat myself, as our friend from America, Pogo, would say. We've met the enemy, and he's us. This is Vaishnavism. The Bhagavatam, 14th canto, 14th chapter, the 10th canto, Lord Brahma describes what is the verse. Krishna Kundi, yeah? Very common verse. That we should accept when we Yomukti Padesha Bhagavatam. When I stop blaming everyone else, when I accept responsibility for myself and for what happens to me, that's when my spiritual life begins. And this is Vishad Yoga. This is a yoga of lamentation. Because I can't depend on anyone else. And I don't really have anything. When we realize I don't have anything, I have nothing, that's when we can really begin to cry. And that's the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. So we'll stop there. We've gone over time. Is there any one or two questions here? Maharaj, do you want to add anything? Please.
Thank you.
Mataji?
Is there some external symptom of the complete submissiveness? Because from the same instruction that is given to all disciples, they can be understood in different ways.
So the question is there some external symptom of surrender? And the answer is yes. And that's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita and other literatures. Someone knows Shastra, that someone's engaged. And Rupa Goswami says in Upadeshamrita that Krishna iti yashigiri tvam manasadhi yeti, they're chanting Krishna's name. We should respect him in our mind. Dikshashti chet panati bishcha vajanta nisham. They have diksha, they're worshipping the Lord. Allah for obeisances to them. Nindani Shunavidamipsita Sandalabhya. And Sandalabhya, I want association with that person who doesn't criticize anyone. Those are symptoms. But let's contemplate those symptoms. Are they absolute? Can you trust them always? I've met a lot of people with Chant Hare Krishna. You know, the Los Angeles Temple, every year, they sell a huge amount of dhotis and kurtas, beginning, I think, about the 15th of October. And then on the 31st of October, I think it's Halloween, right? 31st. We see those people again. The devotees, they go in Harinam to Hollywood Boulevard every year. It's a long-term tradition. And a lot of those people who came to the temple buying dhotis and kurtas, you see them out on the street and they're drunk. They just decide, yeah, I'll dress up like a Hare Krishna. And then when they see the Harinam party, they just start laughing. And their friends will let them go. And they start dancing like this to the devotees. And sometimes they chant a little. Are they devotees? Krishnaita yashirita. Sometimes the FBI and the KGB have infiltrated ISKCON. They chanted their rounds. But they're not devotees. Rupa Goswami says, I should respect them. I heard that in Russia, some of the devotees, after they've been devotees for some years, they went to the Guru Maharaj and said, Guru Maharaj, I have something I have to tell you. When I came here, I was working for the KGB. But now, after all these years, you know, I really want to be a devotee. But they were initiated. They were working on the altar. And we should offer our obeisances to them. But you don't know. They're just a KGB agent doing that to trick us. Or in India, there's so many people who go and they spend 50 paisa and they buy a paita, a Brahmin thread. And they put it on and they have a little basket and a bell. And they go and they wave at all the rickshaws and whatever and then put some in people's heads and ask for some donations. The guy's not a Brahmin, but he looks like a Brahmin. And then that is Shinaridanipsita Sangalabhya. Shastra says if someone doesn't criticize, okay, for 10 minutes. I won't criticize anybody. I must be an Uttama Adhikari. It's proof. So this is a very interesting point. There are external symptoms that are spoken about in Shastra, and we should know them, and we should look for them. However, you can't depend on them. Even by someone's dress. Ravan came dressed as a sannyasi, and he looked really, really renounced. He came before Sita. Bhaktivinoda Thakur calls him Kali Chelas, persons who are following Kali. So we have to depend on Krishna. And this is a very beautiful thing. This movement will never really work well. It won't work if we try to run it like the Catholic Church, where you just be a member for so many years, and now you get this initiation, and we'll give you this. You've learned this much, so we'll give you this thing. If you try to do things in a mechanical way, this movement won't function properly. Inherent within this movement is something very anti-material, which is this crying from the soul. We have to come to that point. And the books all say it, and that's what the Maha Mantra is all about. Okay? So we should stop there. We'll continue tomorrow. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Vanchakopadhyam. Shishakopadhyam. Shishakopadhyam.